Welcome to Vision Destiny 2021. I'm sharing this in the middle of 2020 because I've had a lot of input this year through not traveling and various things. So I'm going to share some of the things God has said in 2020 so far, what God did in 2020, what I've done, and what does that mean for us going forward. So looking at January 23rd, beginning of the year, sun, the relationship, and the government are of equal of importance, but the relationship must come first before government can be effective. Without vision, there's no direction. Without love, there's no foundation. Without government, there's no authority to implement. Isaiah 61 is the DNA of the Freedom Blueprint that reveals identity, intimacy, destiny, and purpose in sonship. Son, it is still your responsibility to establish government, but it will become others to work it out. And that's a local thing where I'm more and more withdrawing from the local situation. Embrace the fresh vision for what you do, but do not forget the spiritual foundation on which it will be built. Face-to-face intimacy reveals identity in sonship. Destiny reveals purpose in sonship. Sons must know their position of rest and responsibility in heaven and on earth. 27th of January. Son, I am the living word of God. All who claim the Bible is the word are trapped into leaning to their own understanding of it. So many are trying to hear our voice through interpreting a book when face-to-face relationship is their inheritance. Any form of mediation puts a barrier between our children and us and separates them from true intimacy. I am the only mediator, and I and the Father are one, so there is no separation. The Father can only be accessed through me. All religion is mediatorial by design. It forces conditions on relationship that will keep us apart, even though it says the opposite. Religion creates a performance-orientated life that is a trap that enslaves and deceives. And I think all of us have experienced elements of that, and whatever our religious experience, whatever churches we belong to or streams, it's part of our history and it's been blessed, been part of our blessing and continuing, but there are things there which have restricted us and hindered us, and ultimately those religious institutional systems are not the solution. Relationship with God, intimacy as sons, is the solution, but together in a new expression of that, ecclesia rising, new order ecclesias, embassies of heaven on earth, that is what creation is looking for. It's not looking for more religious, performance-orientated things, which will just restrict. And they things that start off well often default back to those patterns once you get past the first generation. Do not get trapped into going back to the need for doctrinal agreement to be in relationship. It is the heart and love that matters. And this is so important. If we can be in relationship without necessarily agreeing with everything. We don't need hard, fast doctrines. If you only have relationship with those that you agree with doctrinally, you're already denominational. Relationship is a heart issue. Do not let unity become about intellectually based doctrines. It is by knowing our heart that unity in diversity is possible. Unity based on agreement of doctrine restricts relationship to only being with those who believe and think what they do. Son, come into the circle of the dance of our unity and feel our heart and mind and hear the conversation. And that's the place where we really find what true relationship is really about. And we have this amazing opportunity of engaging there. We are three yet one in I am. When everyone realizes that they are all included in us and we are all of, in all of them without exception, then separation is a ridiculous concept, which is the core of the do-it-yourself tree deception, where knowledge is king, not love and heart. And it's so important that we realize this inclusion, that we're included. We've never been separated, only in our own minds. We need to unveil that to a world who's living in a separated state when they don't need to be. When they're invited, reconciled, brought back into relationship, we have that ministry of reconciliation. Not to bring people back into a religious system, back under laws of conditions that are placed on love, on behavior which indicates acceptance, but unconditional love. that will help people discover who they truly are. Feel our desire for the restoration of all things, and it becomes the only outcome possible when love is who we are. And I think that's what I've found. The more I've discovered what unconditional love is with God, the more I realize that the restoration of all things is inevitable eventually. But we can resist it, and people can resist it, and creation can resist it, but God won't be denied. His love won't relent until he has it all. The oracles reflect how we feel about each other and creation, and we are moved by heart, not logic, as man knows it. Remember the five oracles, or there are seven that I've discovered now, of the Father's heart. Passion. He's passionate about us and all creation. Burning desire. He has a burning desire for intimacy and for the restoration of all creation. Intense joy is how he feels about us. Deep compassion, overwhelming love, oneness, unity, and blessing. And God's desire is that all creation would be blessed to be a blessing. Love is truly logical as we are love. We can do nothing but love and do nothing that it's not based in the essence of unconditional love. Logic, from love's perspective, is the restoration of all things. Using the Bible as the framework for unity only divides and separates by belief rather than unites by heart. Those who deny the restoration of all things are basing their reasoning on their interpretation of the Bible and are denying our heart. Feel the love that is who we are, and restoration becomes logical and inevitable. 28th of January. Son, there are many levels of ascensions, and there are counterfeits for those levels that oppose the maturity of our sons. Beware and seek for the mandates necessary to deal with those in your mountain spheres. Now, what the Father was trying to convey here is that although we can engage and ascend, and we can go through processes of ascension ourselves, and there are levels of that and places we can engage in, there are counterfeits that the enemy has in each of those that seek to oppose us. So there, if we engage as benches of three in levels of authority, there are counterfeit benches of three that the enemy has to oppose our authority. So we've got to be very careful to make sure that we seek for the mandates that we have within there to deal with those things, but to deal with them in a restorational, loving way and not in a warfare, vengeance type of way. There are seasons coming where higher levels of revelation and encounters are going to be released. I am calling for the sons of God to arise and champion these seasons as benches of three and identify the counterfeit spiritual benches and restore them. And I've begun to see how that can outwork. It is time for you to focus on the fear trio who are opposing bringing immortality to light, by engaging them with love's light consistently. Those fear trio, fear of intimacy, fear of death, fear of knowledge, have been opposing the message that brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. And as we as a cosmic bent sought to engage bringing life and immortality to light, and that's part of our mission in terms of restoration and healing and wholeness, then dealing with that fear trio is part of the process. Now, in previous situations, you know, I was taught you do that with a sword and you get the sword of the spirit and you try and kill those things. Well, in reality, you can't really kill a spiritual being, an eternal spiritual being, but you can remove its authority. But actually, wouldn't it be so much better if we could turn those who are against us to be with us and for us and be restored back to their positions? But I know that it's going to take a consistent effort to do that. It's not going to be easy, and the higher levels of authority you face, the more difficult it becomes, and that's been certainly my testimony. So I began to engage those fallen beings with respect and love, and I discovered that it was a process. You know, the first beings I engaged that were turned happened as an event. A lot of preparation in me, but it happened. quite quickly. But actually, I realized that this is a process for many of these things. And I needed a strategy for that. I needed a greater wisdom, insight, to be able to engage and to be able to consistently work that through. So I engaged the ambassadors for the ages and call for the precepts, statutes, and laws relating to immortality to be aligned. So if I was going to deal with fear of death, and these fear-based beings that were hindering this message of immortality and who we are, then I needed things behind that. And so I needed alignment. So I engaged the places I need to engage, the circle of the deep, and I engaged for those things to be ready. So I called for the 12 High Chancellor's houses to come into alignment with the ambassadors of the ages. Now, everything works coming into agreement and alignment. And this is something which I believe we're having more and more revelation on, but there are things that need to be in agreement in the realms of heaven for that to be outworked on the earth, and those things need to be agreed with the eternal heart of God. So I call for the ordinances of heaven to be mobilized. Now, whenever I begin to engage these things, I make declarations and decrees based on what I have experienced in those encounters. So as I saw the alignment of those things, I was able to use the authority of that alignment to make declarations. So I call for the ordinances of heaven to be mobilized. I call for the mantles and weapons houses to be made ready and scrolls to be prepared for the commissioning of the sons who are ready to arise and take their places. And sometimes you have to prepare the way, and that may take time. But when you speak these things into the spiritual realm from the position of being seated at rest in the heavenly realms, they continue to be resonating there for more and more people to embrace. I call for the ordinances of heaven to be mobilized. And I call, and this is where I think going forward, call for those resonating with the restoration of all things, and that this is where things are happening right now. There is people who are beginning to resonate with the frequency that God is releasing to embrace the immortality message and champion its cause, because we need to live to as long as it takes to us fulfill our mandate and calling and our destiny. And I do not believe that 70 years, 80 years, 120 years. We need to be free to not be restricted by being tethered to the progression of time, and therefore that death, physical death, would be inevitable. It isn't. It does not have to be inevitable, but we need to break our agreement with death, the covenant of death, that will bring us into a new stage or a new place or engaging heaven or whatever. And I believe God wants champions to champion the cause of immortality. I call for those resonating with the immortality message to embrace the restoration of all things, precepts, and champion its cause. Because you have some who are embracing immortality, but not restoration. So why be immortal if things aren't going to be restored? So there's this process that needs to take place. I call for the release of the season of the oracles of the Father's heart to motivate the sons of God to action, greater grace, grace upon grace. I call for the removal of all limitations and restrictions on grace. Therefore, it needs to be seen as limitless grace. I call for limitless grace to be revealed in all its lavish abundance. As a result of engaging this and making these declarations, it is a preparation for then to go and take what you've done and use the authority that it's given you to action. So I went into the cosmos, engaged with the bench there, engaged the cosmic trio that I saw as the counterfeit bench. I transformed my being into light and began to radiate love's light with passion. I really wanted to see these beings. Although they'd done a lot of intimidation and hindrance in what God is wanting to do, I want to see them restored. I release the frequencies of sonship and the oracles of the Father's heart as wave after wave of love's essence. Now, I instinctively just knew what to do because I've engaged with the Father. He's shown me some things and I carry his heart. And the more carrying the heart of God in a cardiogenosis, knowing of the heart, enables you to just be a son. I called the trio who came, but I sensed they were hesitant. They came bringing a menacing atmosphere of fear, which I laughed at. Because now I had the authority and now I knew the Father's heart, they weren't going to intimidate me. And so I laughed. "We have been warned about you," they said, "and we are assigned to the task to stop you." I laughed again, which lifted the atmosphere, and I said, "I forgive you, and the Father forgives you. You cannot intimidate my love with your fear, so I released perfect love on you." I was just about to overshadow them with my spirit in love's light when two of them withdrew. I was left facing fear of intimacy, who was transfixed, so I overshadowed it with love. I called forth its destiny, I decreed its restoration as I overwhelmed it with the frequency of the oracles of that depth of passion and burning desire. Layers and layers of darkness began to lift, so I embraced it and I released the intense joy of the Father's heart that the Father felt towards it. I wanted to remind it of how the Father felt, because what we have said as the sons of God and what people have been saying and what the enemy has been saying to keep these beings in deception is that they cannot be restored and the Father is going to destroy them. So that has to change. We have to bring a truth that reveals something different. The light burst forth and I felt its pain go and its passion for intimacy return. I felt the heavens rejoice and a celebration explode amongst the angelic realm. I commissioned it to take the message of restored intimacy into the cosmos and gave it a final embrace. And it was amazing again to see the light and to see a restoration take place. I call for greater grace to bring forth a new season of intimacy and trust that will inspire the truth of immortality and restoration to increase. See, we need more and more people who embrace these messages, carry it, have authority in it, to administrate restoration around the world. 29th of January. Son, there is nothing to fear. Wherever I call you to go, just be yourself and let heaven flow through you. In the Restoration of All Things conference in Colorado Springs, which is I was going in March, don't hold back so you can create an expectation for all things towards creation of the dimension. There's a lot of things I could share about restoration and different areas of sonship and the things I've shared before, but what God was mandating me here was to go into the deep end, to really talk about all creation being restored and dimensions being restored. And that I did. Son, begin to legislate for grace, greater grace, to become grace upon grace from the fullness of manifold grace. Align the 12 houses with the oracles for the change of seasons, as there will need to be limitless grace to see full restoration. All things of creation are the same all things that I gave into the hands of Jesus. They are the same all things that are still safe in my hands as a father. My love will never give up, never fail, nor ever relent until all things are restored back to original position in relationship. Son, this is predestined, as this is our will, our desire, and has always been our intention. This is our heart and can no more change than we can cease to be love within I am. Love wins and overcomes because love has already won. And I think it's so important that we embrace that reality. Love won from before there even was a beginning, before any foundations were even conceived. Son, restoration is as inevitable as we are, and love is. It is totally secure, but all our children still have a part to play as all are included within it. I gave you the four golden keys, and this was an encounter I had within the Father's garden, and I was engaging the golden mountain there, and I was engaging with Metatron, and I was given four golden keys. This is the time to use them to unlock the streams and legislate for unity. Remember, the four streams that I believe are coming together within the river of restoration. that they need unlocking. I gave the keys to four angels of the four angels of transition and assigned them to the four streams. Transformation angel, that order of angels, I engaged them to engage the energy healing stream. Sound of many waters to engage the eschatological stream. Winds of change to engage the universalist stream. And the refiner's fire to engage the mystic stream. The mystics have allowed their own limited understanding of doctrine and theology to restrict them because they have not focused on the mysteries to discover the truth, but on their preconditioned biblical confirmationally biased beliefs. This is mystery. There are things we're not going to understand. If we think we've got it all together and we've got it all tied up doctrinally and theologically, then we are mistaken. And as I would class myself as a mystic, I do not want to get limited or restricted into deeper and further revelation by my own understanding. And it's so important that we, as a mystic community, that we follow this whole process of relationship and not separating on the basis of theology and doctrine. The mystics have stepped outside their mandates thinking they can be theologians. Whenever someone steps outside their mandated spheres of authority, they will either fall or become deceived. Let's make sure we do not do that. Son, keep your heart right and stay within your mandated destiny, and you will not fall or be deceived. You will be safe to explore beyond when you stay in the place of rest within our loving circle of the dance. 30th of January. Son, it is good that you have come here to rest in my grace. So cast all your concerns and burdens onto me. Now, sometimes when things seem overwhelming, you need to find that place of rest. Going to the throne of grace is one place I go and embrace the Father there, sit on his lap. I can go into the Father's garden. There are places which I've discovered. Now, I've discovered more since then. Father, I cast all my cares about family, work, destiny, and freedom onto you. And I totally and completely trust in your love, grace, and mercy. Sometimes we try and figure it all out. Things go wrong in our families, children, relationships. Things go wrong at work. Things go wrong when we think we're not fulfilling our destiny and things seem to obstruct us or oppose us, or things are so slow that we don't think things are moving at all. For me, within our mandate here as freedom, within all the different aspects of what we do locally and further afield, you know, sometimes you just have to get to that place and say, I hand it all over to you. I trust you. I rest in your grace and thank you for being I am. Son, there is so much more to I am than you can presently know or experience, but increase is coming as you learn to really rest and live loved, love living, and live loving. Son, come to my garden, which is another place where you have found rest. So we walk slowly in peace and tranquility to the pool where the waterfalls meet. And there are a number of waterfalls that cascade into the garden. And I've been in that pool a number of times. I've gone down that waterfall. You know, I find the Father's garden is just an awesome place. This time, as I looked before, when I've seen those cascading waterfalls, it was like the surface of the water was boiling with intensity. But this time I looked and everything was totally silent. Even though the water was cascading down and the surface of the water was like a mirror. So it was like my mind, well, how can this be? I was confused for a moment. But I just accepted and my mind rested without any contradiction. And sometimes the experiences that we have are to test whether we need to figure it all out, understand it, or whether we can just experience it and receive what it is the Father has for us through it. Sometimes being too analytical restricts us from receiving the fullness of what the Father has for us in these encounters. You know, and I would encourage you to rest. Just as I am, so this is, and you can learn to choose any reality that is in rest in any circumstance, as there is no limit to grace. So sometimes things look like they are chaotic and in turmoil. But we need to be able to see beyond that and choose a reality that goes deeper to bring rest into those situations. Son, your choices are from what is possible to your thinking, but it is time to go beyond again, to see all the possibilities, not just those things that are probable. You can see and choose from all the possibilities revealed by your expanded consciousness. Son, stop and rest before you choose the reality you want. Remember, knowledge is from the heart, not the mind, so always draw on cardiogenosis when faced with a choice. 4th of February. Son, the Merkaba has multiple levels of revelation and application to it that will open up with the maturity of sonship. Now, the Merkaba, I've done sessions on the Merkaba, so I'm not going to go into it in detail, but this was a conversation that the Father was having to show me that there was more. The first level for most people is as the chariot of Ezekiel 1, which moves their throne of their soul dimensionally. The application of energy linked with the gateways that some call chakras is another level, and enduring through the gateways as portals another level. And as we enter, these are places of entrance and there are places of flow, and I think we need to engage with those. The connection to the governmental positions within the Tree of Life and Metatron's cube in light is another level. And most people are happy with one or two levels, but I believe we need to go deeper and deeper and deeper until we find the fullness of the reality for all of the levels that we're supposed to have in our sonship. Using limitless grace energy to create and choose reality by drawing from the unified quantum field is not a common revelation, but it will become so with expanded consciousness. Son, the activation of your energy gates and fields by intention is the first step to using the ability to generate and direct thought energy as a frequency. So often we've learned to use techniques, which is nothing wrong in using those techniques, but actually thought and thought energy can choose reality. And we need to be able to connect our thoughts to that quantum field to activate that energy. And later on in this journey, I will share some of my experiences where I've gone and learned how to do that in a totally different way than I knew right here back in January and February. Son, look deeper into the sacred geometric images and use this knowledge to increase your thought energy creative ability. Now, I don't know what that really means other than by meditating and looking into the fractals and the different ways of images and these way these things are shaped, there is revelation that comes. The unified quantum field can be the connection between your consciousness and creation through the elementals that are connected to the living light strings of our grace. And later on I was to find how I could engage those light strings. 5th of February. Son, engage the elemental through the Merkaba by your consciousness, not by physical location, so you can connect all dimensional realities to restore hope. Sometimes if we think we have to go somewhere, physically or spiritually in that matter, to be able to engage, then we're going to be limited to a linear expression. And what the Father, I think, was trying to show me is that there are place within all of the dimensionals, creationally, elemental beings that can connect to our consciousness when we use the Merkaba as a form of communication and a communication array to take our conscious thoughts and engage them. Then we'll begin to realize that we can do so much more from being seated in a place of rest by focusing our conscious thoughts. Son, the Merkaba can be the connection to the two dimensions, but also has the ability to broadcast intentional thought energy to towers you've seen. Now, I've seen towers like the Tower of Babel in these dimensions that are connected to our dimension. That has been for harm, but now it can also be turned for good. Son, use this ability to send love letters and messages of hope and freedom dimensionally. So you might say, well, how do you do that? Well, you engage the Father's heart. You really activate the oracles and energized by his heart and his thoughts. And then you begin to focus your consciousness and your thought energy through the Merkaba, which is in the center of our being, and then use it to engage through the portals and dimensional realities that it's connected to release the frequencies of the thoughts that we intend by the intention, the focus of energy and intention. And that may be by declarations or thoughts that you're having, but it can go beyond that into pure thought energy that carries with it hope and light and love in that sort of way. Creation does not distinguish between the frequency of sound produced by your voice, a bowl, or your mind as you think the sound. So sometimes we tend to get caught into the physical realm. So if I were to use my voice to make a declaration or to produce a sound, you know, that could be a groan, sort of a deep groan, or it could be a higher frequency. Now I'm producing a sound with my voice. Now that sound can activate something. I can also produce a sound with a bowl. So that is a crystal bowl, and I can produce a sound, and that sound may amplify what I'm thinking, and that sound can carry what I'm thinking, and you can use that. But also your very thoughts, as you think, are a frequency, are like a sound. So there's not a right way or wrong way, but there are different ways, and there are ways which don't mean that we have to have a bowl present or any other thing present, or we have to go and speak into a situation. We can be, and the frequency of our being in sonship will actually focus. Creation does not distinguish between the frequency of a sound. So all frequencies generating methods have the same effect at a quantum level, where photonic strings of grace will respond to your sonship mandate. When we are brooding, when we're producing that sound with our mind or our being, then that sound is going to connect to things at a quantum level, a minute level. And that's where the photonic strings of grace, the foundation building blocks of all creation, will begin to respond to our sonship. Son, this is the function of an oracle and legislator. When they are resonating with our oracles at a heart motivation level, the hearts of our sons produce pentatonic energy fields by design to generate the oracle's frequencies to connect with creation. That is why the pure of heart can see beyond, and why life flows from the heart. The mouth speaks from that which is generated by the heart as the energy of thought that chooses reality. This is why Proverbs 4 talks about the issues of life flow from the heart. The heart and the mouth and the heart and the thoughts are very interacting. Son, this ability to choose and create reality has been restricted to the conscious, unconscious and subconscious mind, but lost to the conscious mind. There are things that we do in a way without knowing that we do it, that form reality around us. But that usually just keeps us to the things that are either programmed into us within our soul, within our spirit, if you like. But also there may be things that we've learned, but actually we need to go beyond and begin consciously choosing. A heart motivated by the selfishness of the do-it-yourself tree path will only create more chaos if it accesses these abilities, which is why these abilities are being restricted. If we're going to use these amazing abilities of sonship that we've been given, we must be motivated by love and nothing else. So important. A pure, undivided heart resonating with love's oracles is the only way to bring about restoration at a creational and dimensional level. Son, guard the heart and focus on developing the pentatonic frequencies and energy fields around your being and spheres. Sun engaged the elementals in relation to climate change, global warming as it's being called. The cycle accelerates through fear, and man's solutions will only cause more groaning as they are motivated by fear. This is why, to deal with some of the issues that our physical realm is facing, we cannot be motivated by fear in doing it. Fear of losing our position, fear of losing our primacy as man, or all of those things, or fear of using our environment and therefore running out of resources. All of those are fear motivated. We need to be love motivated, wanting through our sonship and the love of creation to see creation back to God's original intention. Not because we're going to run out of things. That's selfish. That comes from the wrong tree path. The elementals are waiting to be motivated by love, not fear. This is just a cycle that has repeated itself many times, but it's being used to create a fear-based environment that will cause creation to groan in line with the children of God's fear. Now, this means that the cycle of warming and cooling has happened many times, probably through interaction with the sun and through solar radiation and for various reasons. It's not necessarily just linked to our production of CO2. Now, I'm not saying we are not in damaging, you know, from our use and treatment of creation. I think we are, and we do need to be much more responsible in the way we use resources and how we do things. But it's fear is the key. You know, when fear motivates us to try and do something, it will never really have a good end result, because it will always be linked to the wrong heart. And therefore, people will exploit it, or people will use it for their own ends. It must be pure of heart if we're going to engage creation. So I engaged the elementals and I listened to them share. I felt what they were feeling towards this area of global climate and everything to do with the global issues of pollution and the global issues of asset stripping. And I felt their sadness. Son of God, this is what they said to me. Son of God, legislate for us that there would be rest. We need greater grace, not fear, to bring balance, to ease the groaning. We need the sons of God to arise, take their places, and direct us to bring order and balance to creation. The cosmos is looking to the earth for the sons to bring the earth back to its rightful place at the center of cosmological affairs. So I said, what do I need to do? Release the message of hope from the rest of love, joy, and peace, that the kingdom of God through the government of God's sons is increasing, bringing creation peace. So I again began to call, you know, I began to respond to what I just experienced. I call for the planetary elementals to hear the sons of God and to work together for the restoration of all things, because there are planetary elementals, there are also dimensional elementals. So I wanted to engage for our planet initially here. I call for the rising of the sons of God above fear to be seated in their governmental positions of rest. I call for creation to respond to love, joy, and peace of sonship rest. I call for the oracles of God to arise, to resonate, and release the frequencies of the pentatonic oracles of the Father's heart. And again, those pentatonic frequencies: passion, burning desire, intense joy, overwhelming love, deep compassion and overwhelming love. Those are the five frequencies. I call for the frequencies of passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion and overwhelming love to engage with the elementals, to create the hope of restoration, trust, that will restore peace to the whole earth. And that's what I want to see. Peace to the whole earth. I call for grace upon grace to be released, for limitless love, joy, and peace, to restore rest, harmony, and balance through sonship. I call to the elementals to respond to the frequency of sonship globally, to restore oneness between the suns and creation. I call for the manifold grace of God to be limitless so that perfect love will cast out all fear around climate change issues. And you know, you may not be called to that particular issue, but there are issues that we're facing globally, cosmically, that I do believe you will be called to. And as God gives you a mandate, that you can make declarations, that you can carry his heart, that you can engage with the elementals for those particular specific situations that are there. February the 6th, I was hearing a lot online being said about Bob Jones's prophecies. You know, there was the revival prophecy about the Super Bowl win, Kansas City winning the Super Bowl. And I, to be honest, I was feeling a little bit like this just doesn't feel quite right. Didn't quite understand why, but in light of what we've seen since, sort of this triumphalist, oh, great, revival's here, we're all going to get revival, and then we're entering into a pandemic which is still going on. Actually, I didn't feel that this actually felt right. So I thought it would be good to go and ask Bob Jones about those things that he prophesied. One prophecy was, Bob Jones told me at least 10 times, when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, you will know that revival is about to come. God is raising up apostolic chiefs. Okay, what does that mean? What does that actually mean? There's 101,001 different interpretations of that, and every one of us will probably have an interpretation based on what we think revival is, what we think apostolic means, what we think chiefs are. So I think it's important to actually find what these things do mean. Did Bob Jones know what they meant? Do we know what they meant? And let's embrace the Father to make sure we're cooperating with him in these situations. So what is the definition of revival to everyone here and everyone you're listening to right now? Yeah, what do you think when I say revival? When Bob Jones said revival, what do you think? Why did he use that word? An awakening, a renewal, a move of the Spirit, repeat of the past? We all have our expectations when we hear the word revival, but what did this mean and what does it mean today? If it was God inspired him to use that word, why and what do we need to take from it? Who's it referring to? Only those in Kansas City? Only those in America? Only those in Kansas, you know, in that state? You know, I mean, is that what it's all about? What or who are the apostolic chiefs? These are all questions I think it's relevant to ask when you hear something said. Whether you resonate with it or whether you don't resonate with it, it's good to ask questions. And God is the best one to ask, I guess. But actually, I felt inspired to go and talk to Bob Jones himself. Here's a revival, which I think a lot of people will relate to in a sense as a definition of a revival. Revival is a mixed drink at Joel's bar, where his spirit is poured out on all flesh and includes inebriating amounts of love, peace, joy, holiness, humility, sincerity, and wisdom. But mostly love, joy, burp. And there's a sense of drinking from the heady mix of the wonderful, awesome love of God, which is not necessarily associated with any way of one way of doing that. So I went into the Court of the Upright to meet Bob Jones because I thought it would be good to ask for his view. He said this, "Hi, Sonny. I brought so much confusion because I only prophesied in part. I wish I could have been clearer, but I had my own filters and understanding which has now been transformed. It's such a shame that people are still looking to what I said years ago rather than listening to what Papa is saying to them directly today. I'm overjoyed that there are so many people visiting the heavens today, but there are not many that are dwelling here as is intended. Encourage people to seek for their own face-to-face revelation with Papa, because they don't need the middleman. I should have been more open and more empowering of others." So much is open to personal understanding framed by religion if you're trying to hear Papa through a prophet. Now I see just how much religion I still had that affected my own understanding and interpretation. Direct access, Sonny, that's the ticket that you all have. Don't waste it, use it. Now, that challenged me a little bit, and I guess it probably would challenge a lot of people about the prophetic or the prophetic movement or where we stand with all of that now. There are so many things that have been prophesied that probably a lot of people have been disappointed over, that they thought were going to come about that never really came about, and then they get maybe disillusioned with the prophetic movement. How many of those things were actually time sensitive and they're now past? How many people are still looking for prophetic things that are now over and they're still looking for them? Now, I thought I would ask God about it and see what he had to say about it. Son, I've been raising up sons who will be serving from positions of rest within the order of Melchizedek as legislators. The characteristics of those sons will have our gentle, humble hearts, those who know their identity and are seated in their positions but do not have to prove it to men or God. I guess there's a position of being secure in knowing who you are and having surrendered who you are to him. These are the nameless, faceless ones, content that no one knows their names, but fully confident and active to legislate from the oracles of our heart. Revival will not be the event many are looking for, but will be an increase in the kingdom government from a Joshua generation who are at rest. Son, the focus is still the same. And I think he was just saying this for me. Raising up sons to function at rest as kings and priests in heaven and oracles and legislators on the earth. Love will be the hallmark of my sons, not power as some presume. Love is the characteristic of grace for the next season, not power. Manifestations of greater grace, lavish and overflowing, totally outrageous from religion's perspective, that will overwhelm every obstacle and hindrance to knowing the true reality of who we are. My sons, living at rest, will minister grace beyond measure, limitless and abundant to those who are totally undeserving from religion's perspectives. Grace is not hyper, mega, or ultra. It is limitless and unconditionally free for all of creation. Those living at rest who carry the oracles of our heart will serve and totally redefine what it is to lead and be a chief. Being a chief will be a title only for those who are gentle and humble at heart. Those who have humbled themselves under our mighty hand will be given it. They will support and empower and encourage others to find and fulfill their destinies by legislating from beneath, mostly unseen and unknown. The mediatorial hierarchical coverings attributed to the leaders of the old order are being removed within our kingdom, even though this will not always be visible or obvious from men's perspectives. So God is doing something behind the scenes, I guess. Many of the old order will fight to maintain their positions of power using demonstrations of gifts, but it's just a facade. They do not have our authority or represent us any longer, and their lack of grace and love will become obvious to those seeking true love. Don't be taken in by demonstrations of power if love isn't behind it. Look for the characteristics of love within all of these things. And love is unconditional, and love will not use people for their own ends or their own purposes. It's otherly. It's about others. Talk of revival often creates expectations of what that means. Let's be revived. That is being fully restored back to the Father's original intention for us, expressed in the vast sum of thoughts he has about us. Our birthright is immortality, as mankind was created immortal. Sin ushered in mortality. Jesus came to restore life. Therefore, in his death, we have immortality restored. When we die with him, we're raised with him back to immortality. Love this scripture, 2 Timothy 1:9-10. according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isn't that good news? Isn't that really, really good news? I love that. Of death has been abolished and life and immortality are being brought to light. Let's carry that good news. Immortality has been a major issue of conflict, contention, and intimidation in the spiritual realms over the last few years. There is some high-level opposition to the reality of our inheritance as being immortality. God said this, Father said, Son, make sure you don't fall into the same trap with your Vision Destiny series. Do not spin it. Use it to encourage others to have their own experiences with me. I'm not sharing what I'm sharing with you as a prophet. I'm wanting you to take these words. I'm wanting to inspire you by the things God has said to me, that God can say the things that he wants to say to you. To me, these things are scripture to me. They are authoritative because God has spoken these things to me. I wouldn't expect those things to be you. And so don't try and make them that. Just use it as an inspiration that you can have these amazing experiences yourself. Son, rest in all that you do, joyfully serving from that place within I am that all have been waiting for them to discover, that I have been waiting for them to discover. And I think that's a place. God is waiting for us to come to that place of rest where we can truly discover that within I am there is this amazing place where we can fully be ourselves. Encourage our children to seek that place of rest within us, within them, so that they can mature in sonship and enjoy life. Your experiences of love, joy, and peace in rest can spill over and be infectious to others by just being yourself. Never get tempted to be like anyone else. I would encourage you, do not be tempted to be like anyone else. Be you. Son, you have traits others would like to change, but we made you that way. But we see traits that others may not see, that we are at work in you to transform. So there are things that are in me that people might not like. I am wired a particular way, and sometimes I'm really focused, and sometimes I may not be as relational as I would like, or maybe they would like. And sometimes that focus is because I'm wired that way. But there are other things in me that may people you don't see, other I don't even see that God's at work to transform, and I'm totally open as a living sacrifice for that transformation process. I know that I need to change. I know that I'm not 100% like Jesus. I know that I'm probably not more than 1% like Jesus. So there's got to be change and transformation. But I know that I'm loved and accepted as I am, and that enables me to embrace the transformation without fear, without guilt, shame, condemnation, but with desire to be who he made me to be. Son, bless those who bless you and bless those who curse you. Treat everyone the same as we do. That is loving action. It must be unconditional or it is not true love. Religion has twisted love to be conditional on behavior. That is denominated, but face-to-face relationship. So bring true clarity as it deconstructs the false icons and idols our children are trying to serve out of fear, duty, or obligation. Don't get caught up in trying to impress men to fit in. Son, a season where limitless grace is poured out until it overflows is being prepared. Legislate for its arrival. And I'm just going to finish again with this legislation. I'm going to release this with my intention, with sound, with frequency, with bowls. And I just want to encourage you to just be open, close your eyes, just let these sounds wave over you, let the thoughts behind them engage with you. I call for a season of limitless grace to begin. I call for greater grace to become grace upon grace, so that manifold grace can be truly unlimited, unrestricted, and lavishly overflowing. I call for limitless grace to be deluged upon those who religion declares the most undeserving. Limitless grace released. I call for scandalous, outrageous, limitless grace that will challenge even the most religious mindsets. And I call for that a wonderful grace to flow like a mighty river. A mighty river of grace. Just hear this declaration of who the Father is. I am that I am, and I am is love. I am love, and love is I am. Love is who I am, and love is the motive of every desire, thought, and action. I am that I am, and I change not. I have always been and always will be love, as love is an eternal constant. Live love, love living, and live loving, and be at rest in the oracles of the Father's heart, in his passion, burning desire, intense joy, and overwhelming love, and rest in the reality of who you are as a son. Herald love, let love, the light of love, shine. Let love's light shine. Be at rest.